Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's great to be here. I bring greetings from Sheffield, which is where I'm from, a industrial city in the north of England. I'm very much enjoying the Australian sunshine and hospitality. Great. Well, if you have got a Bible, I would encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at a little passage towards the end of Luke chapter 19. It's Easter in a few weeks, isn't it? So this is a moment that happens right at the start of Holy Week. So I'm going to read Luke 19 verses 41 to 44. So just a few verses. Luke 19, 41 to 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Now, not the most encouraging passage, but we're going to dig and find some incredible treasure in those words. And while you've got your Bibles open, just flip over to right at the end of Luke's Gospel. So, Luke 24, and I'll read 30 to 32. So this is the famous story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Verse 30, "When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" So the good news that we're going to be looking at today is that God is present and at work, and we can learn to recognize his presence and his work in our lives. That's really, really good news. Now, have you ever failed to recognize someone? Lack of recognition can have various sorts of consequences. Sometimes it's just funny. And one of the lovely stories that emerged from around the time of the late Queen's, I can't even remember which jubilee, platinum jubilee. She was so old, I think she got to a platinum jubilee. There was a story that emerged from her royal protection officer who revealed a really funny story of the Queen playing a bit of a prank on some American tourists. So I hope we haven't got any radical Republicans here today, because I'm going to show a little clip linked to the Queen, the late Queen. Thank you.
Well, one of my favourite stories is when we were at Balmoral, and the Queen used to go up there in May to Cregowan House and just stay there privately for a weekend. And she would go up at lunchtime for picnics, and very often it would just be the police officer and Her Majesty. And one of the picnics I went out with her, we had a lovely picnic and a lovely chat. And then we went for a little walk, just the two of us. And normally, on these picnic sites, you meet nobody. But there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognised the Queen, which is fine. And the American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, where they were going to next, and where they'd been to in Britain. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, "And where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills." And he said, "Well, how often have you been coming up here?" Oh, she said, I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen. And as quick as a flash, says, well, I haven't. The dick you meets her regularly. So the guy said to me, oh, you've met the Queen. What's she like? And because I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull a leg, I said, oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour. Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, put his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, can you take a picture of the two of us? Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye, and then Her Majesty said to me, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows us photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's such a good story, isn't it? Such a good story. A really funny example of what happens when we don't recognise somebody. But sometimes, of course, the consequences of a lack of recognition are much more serious. So we've got this account in the Gospels. A few days before his death and a resurrection, Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept. Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where to the Jews heaven meets earth. But the city did not recognize the time of God coming to them. Another translation of verse 44 has Jesus saying, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. And I appreciate the way that Luke constructs his gospel because, of course, there's this parallel story to the one in chapter 19, the one that I've just referenced. It takes place a week later, the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So someone comes alongside them. They don't recognize that this is Jesus, and it's only as Jesus shares the meal with them and breaks the bread that they recognize who has been with them. So we've got these two accounts of not recognizing Jesus, the city of Jerusalem and the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I think this is one of those instances where Luke wants us to pay attention and reflect on a theme. And here it's the theme of whether or not we are able to recognize the presence of Jesus and to consider how these two passages speak to each other and speak to us. Now, the word recognize that is used in both chapter 19 and chapter 24, in Greek it has the same root, and it means to know, to understand, to perceive. Jerusalem didn't know, didn't understand who was visiting that day. The city was unable to recognize that the longed-for Messiah was in its midst. The disciples didn't know, didn't recognize who joined them on that walk. They were unable to recognize that the one that they had given up everything to follow was actually walking alongside them. Now, we're not told why the disciples were kept from recognizing Jesus, but fortunately, it was just a temporary lack of perception. We don't know for certain why Jerusalem didn't recognize Jesus. On the surface, it looked like there was at least a partial recognition with the events of Palm Sunday. But Jesus is very clear. The city does not recognize this profound moment of God coming to it. And we can surmise that the religious and political strongholds were just too great, too effective at blinding the eyes of the people. And the consequences of this lack of recognition were devastating. So both these passages cause us to wrestle with a sober truth that it's possible to be in the presence of God. It's possible for God himself to visit us and not recognize it. I wonder if, as Luke was writing his gospel, that he had at the back of his mind that story from Genesis 28, where Jacob wakes from his dream of a stairway connecting earth to heaven and declares, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." So what do we need to take from these two narratives in Luke's gospel? Well, there's a big clue in Luke 99:44, and it's the word time. In the New Testament, as I'm sure many of you know, there are two Greek words for time. There's chronos, that refers to chronological, sequential time, the sort of time that you see on a clock. But there's kairos time, the word kairos, and that means an event, an opportunity, a significant moment when something notable happens. And in Luke 19, it's kairos time. It's kairos time. So basically what Jesus is saying over the city as he weeps is, you did not recognize the kairos of God's coming to you. A kairos moment is when God breaks into our reality and really gets our attention. A kairos moment is the opportunity to pause long enough to see what God is really up to. And when we can recognize these kairos moments, we can then respond, we can align ourselves with whatever it is that God is doing. So let's just unpack this a little bit more. Now, one vitally important truth that we can glean from Scripture is that God is always present and always at work in our lives, at work in our church and in our cities. And an important aspect of an authentic prophetic lifestyle, which is available to each and every one of us, is to be able to recognize the presence and activity of God, having eyes to see exactly what God is up to in any situation, in any context. I really like this quote from Richard Foster. Some of you will, I'm sure, have read some of Richard Foster's brilliant books. He says this: God wants us to be present where we are. God invites us to see and hear what is around us, and through it all, to discern the footprints of the holy. That's really good, isn't it? Can we discern the footprints of the holy wherever we are? Now, I want to be really honest with you, because something I find pretty challenging is to be present in the moment. Do you know what I mean by that? My head is so much of the time it's somewhere else. It's usually somewhere in the future, planning something, dreaming about something. But God, particularly in my season of life, is patiently teaching me the value of being, of learning how to be present in the moment with God. I'm having to work at it. I'm having to work those spiritual muscles. Because the reason it's important is the more we're able to be present in the moment with God, not looking back, not looking forward, but just being here right now with God, the more we can do that, the more we can start to recognize God's presence and activity, the more we can start to tune in to what God might be saying in any moment. I think as we consider the particular times that we're all living through, this exercising this spiritual muscle of being present becomes even more important, because we are actually living through a pandemic of inattentiveness and distraction. You know, that's what psychologists and sociologists are telling us. There was a study in 2019 in Denmark that indicated that the global collective attention span is narrowing and narrowing. We are finding, as a human race, it harder and harder to pay attention. And I've got three daughters. My youngest daughter is 21. She's very much Gen Z. And we were having a really interesting conversation with her at Christmas. And she was talking about her friends and her peer group and saying how they just have no ability to pay attention, to concentrate. They're spending 10, 15 hours every day scrolling on their phones. Apologies if there's anyone, if there's anyone age 21 here today. I don't want to make too many generalizations, but this is my daughter talking about her friends. And she was saying they have such short attention spans of just a few seconds, and then they're distracted and they're moving on to the next thing. I was quite proud of her because she was saying, "Mum, I'm trying to be different. You know, I'm trying to limit my phone, my screen time. I'm trying to learn how to pay attention." But I think now more than ever, we're in constant danger of being distracted away from God's presence and God's activity and God's voice. So we miss out on these Kairos moments. We find it harder to spot the presence of God. So something I'm actively doing at the moment is I'm trying to be more in the moment with God, as I'm trying to build my spiritual muscles of paying attention to God. I'm using the discipline of breathing prayers. I don't know if you've heard of breathing prayers. These are just really short prayers, a few syllables long, that we can quietly pray throughout the day. So the one I'm using a lot at the moment is really simple. It's, "Lord, I meet you in this moment." Just a few syllables long. But yeah, throughout the day, I'm trying to remember just to step back in the moment and just quietly pray, "Lord, I meet you in this moment." And it's helping me stay attentive to God. It's helping me be in the moment with God. So I'd encourage each of you to have a conversation with the Lord. And, "Lord, what can I do to develop my attention on the Lord?" And we'll talk in a few minutes with just about some helpful steps forward. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help us develop an attentive, slowed down spirituality. When the rest of the world is just zooming through life, I think God is inviting us to engage with a slowed down spirituality. And of course, this is how Jesus functioned. Jesus was able to live his life knowing that his Father was always present and at work. I mean, this is what Jesus says in John 5:17. Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." And as disciples of Jesus, he invites us to learn to see the world in the same way, trusting that God is present and at work and at all times. So whatever place we're in, wherever we spend most of our time, whether that's in the workplace, in the neighborhood, at college, in the local coffee shop, whatever context we're in, we can say to God, "Show me what you're doing and show me how I can join in with what you're doing." I think we need to stop worrying about whether or not God will show up. Rather, we need to wake up to the God who's already here. He is the great I am. He is the God who promises that he is always with us. We don't have to try and whip up his presence. He's already here. Got one more quote from the author Ruth Haley Barton, and this is from her book Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And she writes these words as she reflects on that moment that the Emmaus disciples suddenly recognized Jesus in their midst. She says this: "Moments such as these are there for all of us if we simply learn to notice. Moments when our awareness opens up and we see something from a spiritual perspective that somehow changes everything. If we take time to pay attention, we see that God is with us, protecting us, guiding us, blessing us. And we realize how thin the veil really is between the material and the spiritual worlds. We learn to recognize and respond to the spiritual reality that is all around us." That's so good, isn't it? Recognizing how thin the veil really is between us and the presence of God. So a prophetic lifestyle, a listening lifestyle, is about learning to spot these Kairos moments, isn't it? It's like being on a glorious divine treasure hunt, on the lookout for God's activity wherever we are. The city of Jerusalem missed its own Kairos moment, but with the help of the Holy Spirit and each other, we don't have to be like that. We can learn to recognize Jesus at work in our lives. And I just want to suggest three simple steps forward, three things to remember that will help us to recognize God's presence and activity. And the first of these, all really, really simple, is it's about recognizing that God's presence and activity is not about how we feel. It's not about how we feel. You know, we might be having a really bad day, but just because it feels like God is absent, it doesn't mean that that is the case. If we're having a really bad day and we're struggling to engage with the presence of God, we just need to declare over our lives, Lord, thank you that you're with me. Thank you for that promise that even though I'm feeling a bit rubbish today, you are still with me. So it's not about how we feel. The second really simple step forward is just building that habit that I've already talked about, building that habit of being present to God as much as possible. So just carving out little moments throughout the day where we just take a little step back in our spirits and we say, Lord, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're with me. I want to be present to you in this moment. Creating enough pause, creating those little moments of stillness. So that's the second step. And then the third simple step is just to get into the habit of asking God, Lord, what are you doing here? Thank you that you're here. Show me what you're doing. Asking God to open our eyes to his reality. Choose to focus on what God is doing rather than what he doesn't seem to be doing. Resisting the temptation to focus on the negative. Having that faith and expectancy that God is here, God is at work, and God will show me what he's doing. So three simple steps. Because we don't want to be like those American tourists, do we? The kingdom is close at hand. Every day can be a day of encounter, of visitation. Because the one who is unquenchable, unending love is right in front of you. Amen. I'll hand over to David in a moment, but I'd just love to pray, if that's okay. And if you're able to, could I perhaps invite you to stand up, if that's all right, if you feel comfortable with that. Thank you. Lord, we are truly amazed that even though you are the creator of the heavens and earth, you're Almighty God, you're the Alpha and Omega, that you choose to be present with us. We thank you for that incredible promise, Jesus, where you said, I am with you always. Lord, we're sorry for all those times where we neglect your presence, when we're too distracted, when we're too inattentive. Lord, may we be a people who learn to slow down enough so we can truly pay attention. And Lord, as we welcome your Holy Spirit, would you just do a work in our hearts and minds? Would you do a work of opening up our eyes to see and helping us to meet you moment by moment? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.